This podcast is supported by Talkspace.
When my husband came home from his military deployment, readjusting was hard for all of us. Thankfully, I found Talkspace.
Talkspace provides professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatric providers online. Military members, veterans, and their dependents ages 13 and older can get fast access to providers, all from the privacy of their computers or smartphones.
I just answered a few questions online, and Talkspace matched me with a therapist. We meet when it's convenient for me, and I can message her anytime. It was so easy to set up, and they accept TRICARE. Therapy was going so well, my husband and I started seeing a couples therapist through Talkspace, too.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, including TRICARE. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com/military. Go to Talkspace.com/military to get started today. That's Talkspace.com/military.
Hi, you're listening to my favorite Elliott Smith song. In this podcast, we try, in our own very small way, to keep Elliott Smith's legacy alive by speaking to well-known fans about their favorite song of his. So hi, and thank you for joining us for episode 9 of our fifth season. Our guest for this one is Aaron Powell. Aaron is a musician from Newfoundland in Canada and plays under the name Foglake. He's been recording music for the last 10 years or so, and his work, quite interestingly, has been referred to as harrowing nostalgia. Aaron's released several albums so far, including most recently Tragedy Reel, which reflects on his upbringing in rural Canada. Aaron is also a self-confessed major Elliott Smith fan, and he's got a lot of Elliott knowledge and thoughts on his music that he kindly shares with us during this chat. So here he is, here's Aaron Powell, aka Foglake, talking to Elizabeth Withstanley.
My name is Aaron Powell. I record under the moniker Foglake, and I am a huge Elliott Smith fan, a stan, as the kids call it these days. I chose the song Coast to Coast, which is the opening track off From the Basement on the Hill. It's definitely one of his most angry songs, I always felt, which is saying a lot because he does have like a big chunk of like angry songs. I just think it's really interesting just tonally. I think when you compare that song to a lot of Elliott's early work, it's just so heavy. I mean, you always saw him wearing that I Love Metal shirt, and it almost does feel like a heavy metal song to some extent, just in terms of the wall of sound it creates.
What do you think he's getting at in the song, or what is he angry about?
Yeah, that's a great question. Like, it's a cryptic song. Like, I know Elliott can, like, I always found he could be either really cryptic or almost really on the nose. And I think Coast to Coast is a great example of like a nice blend of those his lyrical sensibilities, I guess. And I think you can just hear it in not only tonally, but I always found like by that era of his music, his voice kind of had a more weathered sound to it, which is saying something. But I mean, when you read into Elliott at the time, he did seem to be in a place of like real frustration, I guess. I mean, I guess you could say he was starting to come around, but there's a real sense of just frustration on that song. With, I mean, you know, when you read about his contract with even DreamWorks or whatever, I don't know. It's just, it's guns blazing. It's just a great explosion to start a record out on. I just think it might be his best opener track.
Nothing new for you.
I know for me, whenever I start that album and I hear the quietness of that wall of sound building up, it's always like, oh, I'm you know, so happy I'm listening to this. Like,
or yeah, that's when the chills already set in. Yeah, it's haunting. And I mean, and just the voices at the end of the song, or it's almost just like a televangelist going off or something. But yeah, I guess I always found the guitar tone on that track was just very impressive. Like, I can't think of many songs that like have a guitar that even sounds like that. It's just dirty, you know? Like I said, there's a real heavy metal influence there, because I think it's probably, I would even go as far to say it's probably his like loudest, angriest song. I mean, maybe like a lot of tracks off that record are very heavy. And I think some people, you know, they forget that technically the album was kind of unfinished. And I always wondered, like, did Elliot intend on making the entire record more of a rock record? Because, I mean, it seemed like they did kind of have to figure out themselves how Elliot would have wanted that album to be, or like, they didn't know his vision. So I guess, you know, I think it's really interesting to think about, like, if the whole record would kind of have that sound. I mean, don't, like, Shooting Star is very similar in tone. Don't Go Down kind of has that same kind of tone. And I always, as much as I love that record, I really love it. You really can't look at it as Elliot's intended vision, which is interesting, but I think it's still fantastic. He would have loved it.
This song and this album, you're noting, you know, you're interested in that kind of full sound that he's providing, this kind of cryptic, angry, you know, message, which, you know, is maybe, you know, something to do with the music industry, but also is also some kind of parallel with maybe a friendship that's dissolving in a way.
For sure. Yeah, just even the opening line, last stop for resolution, end of the line, it's just like there's almost a sense of acceptance, or like it almost seemed like he was getting his things in order regardless of how you look at the last few months of his life. I don't know. I think, you know, I feel like there's hints. I think it just has a weird, it reeks of like death almost. It's a very haunting. It's very... like it really does sound like he is at the end of his rope on that song, almost. It's one of those songs that if you turn it up loud, you just realize just how well mixed it is. And just like, it's like full, very fully realized. And for Elliot to just take such a drastic, like 180, like, and just do these really loud rock and roll, like angry songs that almost kind of go back to his Heat Miser days in some sense, it's so sad to me to think that we wouldn't, or like it had to end there. It just makes you wonder what kind of direction to Elliot would have went, not only with his version of the finished record, but just where he would have gone from there, because it's really a really fascinating record to end on. It, I mean, if you don't count New Moon in there as well, another posthumous release, that's obviously right. That doesn't feel like a structured, fully realized thing. Even though, as much as I don't know how Elliot would have felt about them releasing it the way it is, it does feel like a fully like finished record to me, regardless.
Right. I mean, I think those two albums are completely different, as you mentioned, like, because he was working on From a Basement on a Hill, yeah. And there was people around him that, you know, were part exactly. of that process. So there was some idea of a vision where New Moon is just, okay, here's some songs that were never released.
Yeah, and I do love New Moon, don't get me wrong, but yeah, you're right. I think it was released with respect. I mean, you see it all the time now with posthumous releases. They feel like cash grabs, and they feel really disrespectful, and they often, you know, are part of a contract. I think I read somewhere, it's like, if you die, we will make money off you. But you never get that. You never get that feeling from that record. I think at the end of the day, Elliot would have been like, you know, you pretty much got it right, you know. I mean,
yeah,
they even added that line in on King's Crossing and everything. It feels like it was done with passion and respect, and with, like you said, like a knowledge of what Elliot had intended. I mean, it sounds pretty close to completion. At least we got lucky.
Yeah. But I mean, yeah. Obviously, as an album, you're enjoying it as an album, as you've noted. You know, yeah. It and the self-titled album are your two favorite Elliot Smith albums.
I often forget that, oh my God, that he never finished this record. And I sit around sometimes and just imagine, I take other songs, you know, B-sides or, you know, and be like, oh, would this have been on it? Or would he have done a different version of this? Would he have mixed this like this? Would he have done the Because We Love You line on King's Crossing? I don't know. That's the kind of stuff I sit and ponder for way too fucking long. The way I look at music, like, I love music that is like, welcome to my world, come into this house, and just experience what it is like to be me for 5 minutes or however the song is. And I think on Coast to Coast, it's definitely one of his most, like, it's really sad in a way, because I think he was really trying to give people a way to enter his mind. And I think you can rarely succeed at that. You can give somebody an idea of what you may feel like, but I think that's like one song that I'm like, wow, you know, even lyrically, you really feel like you know what Elliot was going through at the time. And I don't know if he ever intended that to be the opener. I would say likely did, but God, was it a great choice for an opening track, because it just instantly sucks you in.
I am admittedly a fan of your music. I do listen to quite a bit. And I, you know, years before we're speaking here, I did notice on one of your songs that you have the line Coast to Coast in, I think it's a song, California.
Oh, yeah, true. I thought you were going to bring up my song Circuit Rider, which is literally just a straight up reference to Coast, but I never thought about that either. I think Elliot finds his way into a lot of the stuff I do, and I'm very admittedly open about that, but I never thought of that. Maybe I did have it in mind. I do have a lot of memories associated to the song, but I always thought it was funny. Like, I remember being like, what the hell is a circuit rider, you know? And I almost got a do you know what that is? I gotta Google that here now, because I think it's some kind of like religious, circuit rider. where clergy assigned to travel around certain geographic territories to minister. I guess they're kind of like Jehovah's Witness, knocking on people's doors and stuff. But it's like Circuit Rider, where it comes every fifth Sunday. I always, like, when I talk about the crypticness of that song, it's that's one line in the song that always, I was like, what? I'm always like, what the hell is he talking about there now? And so I think I wrote a song. Yeah, I wrote this song, Circuit Rider. I think I didn't even realize I was totally copying that from Elliot when I wrote it. I don't like that song at all. It's one of my least favorite of my own songs. But I just think it's funny how I think unconsciously, Elliot is always in my subconscious sense of music all the time. And, you know, I would definitely put him in the top five influences for me. When I was 15 years old, I was really, really insecure about my singing voice. I was like, oh man, I can't sing very loud, or my voice is too like shivery and high. And I think when I heard Elliot's music for the first time when I was 15, I was like, holy crap, this is like, a lot of people probably would say technically he wasn't the greatest singer. I would be the first to disagree, but I actually, the first time I ever really recorded my vocals, I downloaded an instrumental like alternate mix of Coast to Coast, and I tried to record myself singing it like Elliot, like just trying to be like at what like timbre or like what volume, like how do you get that vocal sound. And it was actually one of the first times I was like, you know what, my voice sounds all right. So I honestly think that song like completely helped foster my own self-confidence and my own singing in terms of recording. I just thought that was a kind of a funny story about that song.
Yeah, I think Elliot's a great singer. Me too. I know other people don't pick up on that for some reason. But it's interesting. I mean, I'm sure probably he would have said that he's not a fantastic singer.
Yeah.
Like he just did it. You know, it's just part of it. And
well, I mean, that nice song too, sorry to cut you off. I was saying, his voice sounds really weathered on that song. Like it's been damaged, like legitimately damaged over the years. And I think that totally adds to it too. And like I said about the Heat Miser thing, I know Elliot really didn't feel like he could sing in a rock band. I know he was super self-conscious about that, I think I read somewhere. But it's really interesting to see him kind of going back to that and, you know, singing in such a way that it doesn't seem like he cares anymore whether people like it or not, you know? It's very punk.
Right.
People talk about the cliche tortured artist, but I mean, I do think, also, maybe this is off topic, but I do think there is some kind of element with people who suffer from mental illness who need a creative outlet. You know what I mean? I think you can really hear it with Elliot where it seems like he has to make music. I just always get that sense from his stuff. Yeah. And you can tell it's therapy for him and it's very confessional. And it takes a lot of courage to write songs like he did, because they're heavy, but I don't really find his music depressing. I think it's really beautiful, and a lot of his songs feel like lullabies. I think his music got me through like high school to some extent, and he felt like a friend, you know.
Yeah. I think that's the mark of a real Elliot Smith fan, is not finding the music sad, because I don't find it sad.
No,
but
I
see what you're saying. Like you're hearing somebody go through something and you can relate to them, and there's something so endearing about his music because of that.
Absolutely. And I think there's like a preconceived notion when artists commit suicide, you know, that I think they just get tagged. You know, there's a funny interview with Elliot talking about, what was it like? Are you a sad sack? And he laughs it off. He's like, because I get that stuff all the time too. And it's like, no, if you met me, like, it's like you are the one who is casting this aura of sadness over everything I do. And I think, you know, if people who really understand Elliot's music know that it can be anything. He was so versatile and his music is so powerful. I think you can associate it with all kinds of feelings. And I don't think he was one-dimensional in that regard. But and I don't want to say I have this weird parasocial relationship with him. I think I used to back in the day. But yeah, I think there's just such a powerful healing element to his music. And I think he knew that. And I think when you make music that is true to you, you can not only heal yourself, but you can heal so many others. And I can't imagine the amount of lives that Elliot has literally probably saved, because it's real. It's authentic. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a great observation. I mean, I think, it's just something prevalent in all the arts in general that, you know, whether a musician or a writer or a visual artist, there's an expression that, you know, the artists are trying to get out there. And it is, like you're saying, there's probably some degree of therapy in there, in the sense, like, that's just how artists, you know, deal with the world. And they're able to put it into something creative and get it out there in the world.
Absolutely. And yeah, he just didn't seem like he was obsessed with attention. I think his Oscar performance is so funny. It's like, I think if I was going to play the Oscars, I would maybe like shower like then the day of. But Elliot comes out with greasy hair in a white suit. And it's like one of the most punk rock things ever. I know that's off topic now, but I just think that's the coolest thing. And I think that sums him up to a T, honestly.
Yeah. It's funny too, to think about that, that performance in relationship to From a Basement on a Hill.
How
because
so?
I think he's just made a lot of references in From a Basement on a Hill to Hollywood and some things in the industry.
Sure.
And just being like, you know, chewed up and thrown out.
True.
That,
I belong in your zoo.
I feel like the album, you know, is him processing that crazy experience in a way.
For sure. I don't think Elliot was cut out for like major label success. And I think it's almost sad for me to say, but I think I often wonder what would have came of Elliot, or what would his discography had been like had Good Will Hunting never been released with him part of it so prominently.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And he does make so many references. As a musician, I love songs that are about the process of music or have like subtle jabs at the music industry. I mean, Angelus is a perfect example. You know, I think a lot of people think that song is about a relationship, but it's very clearly about like, screw you, music industry people, you know? But it could be a double entendre, which is brilliant. One thing that always struck me with Eliot is that I think I read an interview of his one time where he talked about the theme of dependence in his music. And like, I thought that was really interesting because he is the master of like, is this song about drugs? Is this song about a girl or a lover? And I think that is the main thing I took from Eliot. And I will say that admittedly, I just like to write songs that are about being dependent on something, and you can kind of decide what that is. But I find that always makes a really interesting and dynamic song that is could be about many things, you know.
So thank you very much to Aaron for being a great guest on the podcast. As always, if you want to dive deeper into any of the things we discussed, there are links in the episode notes. Also in the episode notes is a link to our monthly newsletter, which you can read and subscribe to. And there's information on how you can feature in the show by sending us a cover of you playing your favorite Eliot Smith song too. And that's pretty much it from me for today's episode. To play us out, our cover this week comes from Sean Meeker, who sent in this version of another great From a Basement track, A Passing Feeling. We'll see you in a couple of weeks' time. Just to exist at all took a long time. My Favorite Elliott Smith Song is produced by Rob Comber and Elizabeth Woodstanley. You can find out more about the show at myfavoriteelliottsmithsong.com.